Well, more than 1 million of us downloaded the COVID Safe Tracing app within just the first few hours of its release last night. This technology will help authorities track down people who may have been in contact with a person diagnosed with the COVID-19 virus. Health Minister Greg Hunt has dismissed the persistent questions about the safety of personal information contained in the app, saying the privacy safeguards are the strictest ever introduced.
This is, as the Attorney General has said, probably the safest data that has been provided by any group at any time in Australian history. It's simply about helping to save your life, to protect your life, and to protect the lives of our nurses and doctors and those with whom they come in contact.
Health Minister Greg Hunt, he says, while the country is winning the war against the pandemic, we haven't won yet, hence the need for this app. Chris Bowen is the Shadow Health Minister. Chris Bowen, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran. Good to be back.
Can I ask you, have you downloaded the app and are you encouraging others to do so?
Yes, I have downloaded the app, downloaded it last night, along with many other Australians. We've always said this app could play an important role, a constructive role, part of our response to defeating COVID-19. Of course, there are legitimate concerns to be worked through that many Australians would have, and it's ultimately a personal decision as to whether you download the app or not. I have, my family has, because I think Australians have shown that they do want to do what it takes to help defeat COVID-19, and downloading the app can be a part of that if people are comfortable.
Early uptake numbers are promising, as you mentioned, but the scheme only works if people trust the government with their private information. Now, in more recent times, we've had the experience with MyHealth and the metadata regime, where people with MyHealth particularly showed they didn't have confidence. It took a lot to get it anyway. Do you see enough people having confidence in the government and the way personal data is managed to put their faith in the app?
Well, international evidence does suggest that we need 40 to 60% of people to download the app for it to be truly effective. Now, of course, you know, of course, any number of people signing up to the app does help, but for it to get the critical mass to be truly effective, they're the sorts of numbers we're looking at. Mm. And yes, you do point to a pretty poor track record in the past by the government on data issues, and that has led to legitimate concerns. Hence, we do think it's appropriate that there be legislation, and we've encouraged the government to do that, and the government is doing that. There will be legislation introduced when we sit on May 11. It's certainly the view of Mark Dreyfus and I that we would recommend to the Shadow Cabinet and the caucus, based on everything we know. We haven't seen the legislation yet, but based on everything the government has told us, publicly and privately, that we would support that legislation because that will help provide some reassurance to people. Also, we suggested to the government that the legislation and the privacy elements of the app be referred to the Senate Select Committee looking at COVID management, which is being chaired by our colleague, Senator Katie Gallagher, and I appreciate the fact the government has accepted that recommendation and that will be referred to the Katie Gallagher COVID-19 Select Committee to enable, before the legislation is considered by the Parliament, a hearing for people to express concerns, for experts to give evidence, and for those issues to be properly aerated before the Parliament. And that's a good sign, Fran, that things are working the way that it should between a government and the opposition on things like this, to have a suggestion from the opposition that it be referred to a Senate committee, that suggestion accepted by the government, and for those issues to be worked through.
But, do you have any concerns at all that the app's being released now and yet Parliament's not back for another couple of weeks? And do you think people might be worried about that? Because the Minister's assurance is that this is, quote, probably the safest data that's ever been provided at any time in Australian history. Do you accept that guarantee?
Look, ultimately, Fran, it's a matter for the government when and how to introduce the app. There's questions about the timing. There's questions about the form of the app, whether it would have been better to wait for the Google Apple app, for example. These are all legitimate questions. Ultimately, that's a matter for the government. All we can do as Australians is respond to what's put before us, and I've responded by downloading the app. That's my response.
Yeah. You have confidence in its privacy, that says.
Look, I think on balance, given the size of the challenge before Australia and given the opportunities available to Australia if we can defeat COVID-19, on balance, that's a decision I'm personally comfortable to make. It's a decision that, as far as I'm aware, all my Labor MPs are making. I've seen a number of Labor MPs say they've downloaded the app. The only MPs I've seen say they're not downloading the app, the Liberal National MPs. But certainly that's the approach we're taking, to provide as much constructive engagement as we can. Ultimately, there are matters before the government which don't require legislation. This app, in and of itself, doesn't require legislation. The government can and has they've done it. They're entitled to do it. It's a legitimate function of executive government to do it. We've suggested legislation would be appropriate to ensure, one, that it's truly voluntary, that, you know, there can't be any requirements on people to do it, to become a customer or an employer of any particular body. And secondly, that the information can only be accessed very genuinely by state health officials for the purposes of contact tracing. Now, we're told that's what the legislation will do. And on that basis, if that's what the legislation does, then certainly we'd support it.
And just one more question on this, the source code. Yeah. The government has said that it would release the app source code so people could sort of, you know, who know about these things could deconstruct it, have a look at it, check the privacy arrangements and guarantees. That's been put off, quote, subject to final advice from cybersecurity agencies. Will you insist that we do see that source code? It is made public. Do you have concerns about that?
Look, it is important it's made public. Now, I understand the government is currently going through the process of working out how much of the source code they can release without undermining the security of the app. They say that if they release it all, it could actually be counterproductive. It could actually undermine the security of the app and undermine the privacy provisions. They want to release as much of it as is sensible. I'm prepared to take the government on good faith on that. That's what they're working through. Of course, it should be released, but if they need a little bit of time to sort that through and work out how much they should release, I'm prepared to give them that in good faith because that's the process they say they're undertaking.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. Our guest is the Shadow Health Minister, Chris Bowen. Chris Bowen, if there is a strong uptake, it should expedite the lifting of social and economic restrictions. Basically, the Prime Minister says that that's the deal, and restrictions will be reviewed by the National Cabinet on the 14th of May, I think, in 3 weeks' time anyway. But the all-important effective reproduction rate, the REF, is already below the crucial threshold of one and has been for a while now, which means the active number of cases in this country should continue to fall. Do you think National Cabinet, that's the state and federal leaders, National Cabinet, should be following WA and Queensland and start lifting some of the social distancing rules very soon, start off slow and cautiously?
Slow and cautious is the right approach, Fran. There's a balance to be struck here. Of course, we all want the restrictions to be released as soon as that is as it is safe to do so. We all want that, absolutely. But also, there is a risk, which governments are acutely aware of, that if you are rash, then you will see a second wave and you will have to slam the brakes right back on and, in fact, slam them on more harshly than you did to start with. And that would be bad for the economy, of course. So while some say release everything now, it's better for the economy, I think they're underestimating the risk involved in having to come back and slam the brakes on again. So obviously we support a sensible approach, a rational approach of cautious relaxation when and where the medical evidence allows that to be considered. I think that's what state governments are doing. They'll be at different points on that because there are different elements of community transmission concerns in different states. But a slow and cautious approach to those relaxations is sensible. We all want to see them lifted, Fran. Nobody more than me and nobody more than the opposition. But it's got to be done sensibly and carefully, and we'd certainly support that being the case. We're not going to play politics and say, you know, release this quicker, do that quicker. Mm-hmm. That would be irresponsible. The appropriate thing to do is for the federal and state governments to cooperate on a sensible relaxation when and where recommended on all the available scientific and medical evidence, and to proceed cautiously.
The Business Council of Australia has released some modelling today that shows if this lockdown extends to 6 months, which is the original period we were told of, the hit to the economy would be around $400 billion. That's obviously a huge amount of money, given your determination there that health trumps the economy. It nevertheless brings the economic damage or potential damage into sharper focus. Do you think...
Can I just stop you there,
yes,
Fran?
Yes, please.
I don't accept that health trumps the economy. It's the same question. What is ultimately best for Australia's health outcomes is also ultimately best for Australia's economic outcomes. I don't accept this dichotomy. As I said before, if we release these restrictions too quickly and we have to slam the brakes back on, that is terrible for the economy as well. So, of course, the economy is a very important consideration, but to my way of thinking and to the Labor Party's way of thinking, they are the same consideration. It is the same question before decision makers. I don't accept that there's some sort of trade-off here that, we'll go with health and the economy can't, we'll forget about that, because ultimately it is the same decision matrix which you're looking at when you're making these calls.
Okay. What about getting kids back to school? It's obviously an important prerequisite to reopen the economy properly. And there's new evidence today, this report or evidence that shows transmission rates from students to teachers and to each other extremely low. Do you think the states, like Victoria in particular and the ACT, which are saying schools will be closed for term two, do you think they should think again?
Well, Fran, I think premiers and education ministers can, must and will be guided by the best medical advice. And can I say, I've been disappointed.
But is it the best medical advice from the Commonwealth or the best medical advice from the states?
But their own medical advice. I've been disappointed to see federal cabinet ministers falling over themselves to criticise state governments, which I think undermines the process here. State governments are responsible for schools. They are considering the best advice available to them. I live in New South Wales, Fran. I'll be guided by the advice of the Liberal Premier Gladys Berejiklian about my kids. When she says it's safe to go back to school and appropriate to go back to school on a staggered basis, that's the approach my family will be taking. I'll be guided by my state premier, who happens to be a Liberal state premier. I think it's disappointing that federal cabinet ministers, like, and including the education minister, Dan Tehan, and Peter Dutton, have been falling over themselves to engage in some sort of culture political war against state education ministers. Everybody's trying to strike the right balance here. I'm happy to be guided by my Liberal state government in New South Wales, and I think others would do well to also allow their states to make the decisions they need to make on the best advice available. I don't think there's a premier or an education minister in Australia who wouldn't want to see schools back tomorrow if they could, but they're also not going to risk the sort of things we talked about earlier of a rash relaxation against medical advice, which sees us coming back and having to be harsher later.
Chris Bowen, thank you very much for joining us.
Good to talk to you as always, Frank.